We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hobbit.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with the sign quoted in The Scotsman, read by Brian Perkins.
Any persons except players caught collecting golf balls on this course will be prosecuted and have their balls removed.
Thanks to Michael Fenwick from Bigger for sending that in. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome on my right, Francis Ween and Steve Punt. And challenging them on my left, Linda Smith and Jeremy Hardy. Francis, your first question. Which doctor knows better this week?
Could this be Northern Ireland?
It could.
Yes, I didn't really understand why this was news, quite honestly. Apparently, the Orange Order and people like that have been saying no, which is a real dog-bites-man story, if ever there was one. I mean, this is the only word in their vocabulary. Other parts of the world, parents get a bit upset if their small children reach that phase where they just say no to everything and start pulling faces. Whereas in the right bits of Belfast, this is thought of as a great leap forward. You know, you say, are you going to eat up your greens? No! You could play nicely with your sister. No, no, no. How many times must I tell you? And so they go on, and they say, oh, that's a clever boy. You know, you grow up to be as big and strong as Ian Paisley. And this is what appears to have happened, except it's changed, of course, since that nice Dr. Bolam took over. It's now us that says Mo, apparently, on most of the placards around there.
Paisley's upset because of cross-border institutions, but it's very hard not to have cross-border institutions in Ireland, because if anyone's familiar with the border, it snakes around this border, and you have cross-border houses. People cross the border every time they put the milk back in the fridge.
Yes, the Reverend Ian Paisley began his campaign for a no vote in Northern Ireland this week. His decision to campaign against the Northern Ireland peace deal puts him in the same camp as extreme Republican splinter groups. I feel ashamed and disgusted at the alliance we have inadvertently forged, but trust that history will judge we did the right thing, said one extreme Republican speaking through his balaclava. 2 points to Francis. Steve, who were told to see me afterwards for shouting?
Teachers. Presumably, were told to see me after shouting because they shouted at the conference. Someone there, whose name I'm afraid I forget, got shouted down.
David Blunkett, I believe.
David Blunkett, that'll be him, the Secretary of State for Education. said the satirical comedian.
Wasn't any point in waving banners at him, was it?
What do we want? 12%. How do we get it? We divide by 100 and multiply by 12.
Delegates at the NUT conference this week voted for strike action to support their 11-point contract detailing minimum standards of employment. They intend to work a maximum 35-hour week. Though what effect all those extra hours will have on the government's position is hard to fathom. Linda, whose open invitation caused a Gaelic stink?
This French lady, some sort of minister for tourism or something, has said, yes, please, all come to France, even if you haven't got tickets for the World Cup. Just come, anyway. Go on, come. And our government said, well, actually, no. We were rather hoping that people without tickets would stay at home in England and watch the telly, really. And that's about it, really.
There's a certain sort of charming naivety about thinking that English football fans are going to go over, not be able to get into the match and think, oh, well, we'll just go and investigate some other facets of French culture instead then. And spend the rest of their holiday walking around historic vineyards in Bordeaux, singing, Come On You Amusing Reds. With a touch of raspberry on the bouquet. And going to Monet's house at Giverny and looking at the remarkable late pictures of water lilies and saying, where were your specs, Claude?
wandering around the Saint-Germain area shouting, Simone de Beauvoir, Simone de Beauvoir, get your tits out for the lads.
Do you know, the French are actually so keen for people to come over. And this is true, they've actually done a brochure translating things that football supporters might say, so that people can really join in and get the full benefit of the matches, which is just such an extraordinary idea. People can watch goal kicks being taken and go, vous êtes merde!
Brilliant.
do, rentre chez vous dans an ambulance anglais. Oh, they're sweeter French, I think. They just don't know what's going to hit them.
After spending 24 hours under intense pressure to withdraw her invitation, French Tourism Minister Michel Demessine finally capitulated, continuing a proud French tradition which goes back to 1870. Jeremy, your music.
Come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 minutes putting on the red.
Jeremy, which £5,000 a week hotel welcomes younger guests?
Linda's just written something down for me, which is the answer. It's very kind of her to be so gentle with an old man in the twilight of his years. It's the kiddie prison. And everyone's saying, this is extraordinary. It's more expensive than Eton. But at least they might come out of the kiddie prison and be a useful member of society. People always say these prisons are like holiday camps, but if you ever go to a holiday camp, they're absolutely ghastly and appalling places. Depression and loss of the will to live.
Medway Secure Training Centre opened its doors to take on 12 to 14-year-old criminals at a cost of £5,000 each a week. The government has denied allegations that the computerised children's prison will be a college of crime, claiming it would wean trainees off car theft and street robberies and onto high-tech computer fraud instead. And the scores at the end of round one are, everybody, 4 points. And we start round two with an item from the Stroud News and Journal.
Stroud police are currently investigating several reports of flashers who have been exposing themselves to women in the town. There have been descriptions from three women who all witnessed the man from a distance of around 200 yards and said he was in his late 20s with short, dark, curly hair.
Thanks to John Lee of Tockington, Gloucester, for sending that in. Francis, whose counterbid from the lottery was posted this week?
Whose counterbid from the lottery was posted this week?
The post office is going to run the lottery, which is an appalling idea, I think, because it just won't be as glitzy or as glamorous, and at the moment they say, Wednesday is Wednesday, and when the post office take over, Wednesday will be early closing day. Buy your ticket by 1 o'clock. And also, Camelot, because they're Camelot, the big sort of turny drum things that the balls bounce around in are all called things like Lancelot, Guinevere, and when the post office take over, they'll be called Jess and Pat.
You know what the idea is? The idea is to get pensioners and claimants, when they've got their cash in hand, before they wander toward the news agent and think, no, maybe I should buy some food.
The post office promised it would be capable of delivering a first-class lottery every Saturday night, and a second-class one 5 or 6 days later. Steve, who is casting his web wider in order to net more opinions this week?
Yes, this will be Tony Blair. It's a first, I think, for British Prime Ministerdom. He's going to answer questions live on the net and bring the miracles of modern technology into politics, which is not really much of a big deal, since most questions that are asked of New Labour are answered by robots anyway. The thing that I like about this is the naivety of assuming that people who are really into computers and the internet are remotely interested in politics. Because I'd be Tony Blair sits down to do this, and the first messages that come in are saying things like, Dear Prime Minister, I am on level 3 of the Dungeon of Thark. I have my sword and my quiver and a small spanner, but I only have one life left. There is a spider approaching and 3 gates in front of me. What does your government intend to do about it?
Probably gets lots of messages from John Prescott.
Well, I think it's all right talking to him on the net. The main thing to remember with Tony Blair, never look into his eyes. Never, or him or his spooky missus, because they're like Gomez and Morticia, and if... if you look into their eyes, they can make you do things you don't want to do, like drive your car off a cliff.
Well, I think it's called a hit, isn't it, when you go on these things? Mm. And there are a lot of people who apparently want a hit. Mm. Tony Blair's... Tony Blair's sight.
Critics have said that delivering messages directly into people's homes smacks of George Orwell's 1984. But a Labour spokesman has dismissed this, saying, how could you possibly compare a bleak, nightmarish dictatorship where everyone's life is controlled to the last detail with a novel? 2 points received. Linda, here's a piece of music for you.
Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. Hey.
Linda, who outraged the faithful by delivering a hymn to hymns?
Peter Tatchell. He's gay, you know. I'm told. And apparently, Easter Sunday, he got up in church, and him and some mates, in fact, in Canterbury Cathedral, and disrupted the service. He sort of, you know, got up and started shouting about gay weddings and things, and the Archbishop of Canterbury said, go on, get out of it, you can't come up here, you haven't got a frock. So,
you can't have gay men just leaping into the pulpit, they've got to go to theological college. Because gay people shop all the time already, they don't need to get married.
It would solve the problem because, you know, the moral majority get outraged about gay people's promiscuity. Of course, you let them get married, they'll be celibate in a year like everybody else.
Jeremy, which man from Auntie has made politicians lose their cool?
This is Ben Elton, who has denounced New Labour. Ben, bless him, has just noticed that Labour has somewhat abandoned everything it ever stood for. Ben's noticed it's a bit too late, but nice to have you on board. And he's denounced government trying to be cool, which is entirely right, because government shouldn't try and be cool. I mean, you saw them at the Brits Awards, and they were sort of jigging about, and it was unseemly. It's like a vicar in a youth club going, Jesus, was a bit of a rock and roller too, you know.
2 points to Jeremy, I think, and at the end of round two, everybody has 8 points. Let me start round three with an item spotted by Paul Barnes of Sevenoaks in The Times.
Homosexual sex for 16-year-olds should be legalised by the summer after a decision to give MPs a free vote on the issue. The Bishop of Norwich is expected to speak against the amendment in the Lords. He said, I am entirely behind the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Francis, what sporting remains were veiled in secrecy?
I think this is about the Ashes, which is the cup that England and Australia play for, except it is fixed, because even when Australia win, I say when, I mean they always do, the Ashes stay in Lords, because the Australians can't be trusted with them. Nation of convicts, you see, they might run off with it. And it's now been revealed by the Dowager Lady Ashes, or some such figure, that it might not be a burnt cricket bale in there. The Ashes might be the ashes of a woman's veil. I mean, I can't quite understand why this is suddenly all over the Daily Telegraph, but I suppose there are some readers of the Telegraph who remember that great event in 1889. Who knows what's in the ashes? Unless we ever win them, I don't suppose we'll ever get the chance to open them up and see.
It seems hugely understandable to me, the fact that everyone thought it was a bale and it turns out to be a veil. It's in the long room at Lords. And what did you say? Starts one end of the room, gets to the other.
I think it's rather nice that it's a story that's putting a bit of romance back into cricket instead of all the things that are taking romance out of cricket, like these awful sort of shell suits they wear now for the one-day matches. Awful things. No romance in that, is there? You know, if you hold a shell suit to your ear, you can hear Romford.
Steve, here's your piece of music. Eat it, eat it. Eat it by Weird Al Yankovic. Steve, what weighty new development wouldn't be hard to swallow?
Oh, this was a horrible story. I must apologise in advance. This is a bit sort of yucky. This is about a diet pill, and What no one's ever really fully exploited before is the diet value of getting the violent runs. But the thing is that up to now...
Is that the Australian cricket team again?
up to now, to adopt this dieting technique, you've had to visit certain hotels in southern Spain at the right time of year and use the swimming pool a lot. What someone's now worked out is that if you can invent... They've invented a pill which prevents your body from absorbing more nutrients than it actually needs. And if you eat too much, the pill means that your body will simply pass the rest straight out as waste. Basically, you just have to run to the bog every 5 minutes if you eat too much. Are you going to see those people in the street?
I love on Nicholas Soames.
You're going to see those people in the street with those things that say, lose weight now, ask me how. And you're going to cross the road very rapidly.
That's completely wrong. What it does, it extracts a third of the fat from your diet. And it is the fat, it's all the grease that goes through you. And as a hemorrhoid sufferer, I think that is a step forward.
Linda, which spiritual leader has been booked twice?
It's the Dalai Lama, who's been a bit dodgy. He's got two publishing deals on the go at the same time. He can't do this. He's got... So he's a sort of Arthur Dalai Lama kind of at the moment. He's ducking and diving a bit and playing one against the other. And they've got these funny names that publishers have. Is it Little Brown and Jug and Wilson, Keppel and Betty and whatever. And they're all sort of fighting it out amongst themselves. And I think it's gone to his head, this Martin Scorsese film, the Dalai Lama. I think now he thinks he's Joe Pesci. He thinks he's a made guy and he's sort of going, what, I'm holy? What? I inspire you? What?
Yes, the Dalai Lama is being sued by publishers Little Brown for allegedly duplicating much of the material from his book Ethics for the Next Millennium in a second book for another publisher. Buddhism teaches that even the mightiest human beings can be reincarnated as the lowest form of life on the planet. So give it 20 years and the Dalai Lama will be handling his own appeal. 2 points to Linda. Jeremy, who is leading by example by giving his all?
Dunno. Linda's writing.
I was just telling Jeremy, we'll have a little walk later.
Tell me, whisper.
Is it this man Vauxhall Cars man who's
You're not my granddaughter. They do a nice lunch on a Saturday.
What?
I'm quite sure the nurses aren't stealing your clothes.
Thank you, Linda. It's the Vauxhall Cars man. Man from Vauxhall Cars has got so much money, he said, Julia, I'm not going to take my salary this year. And anybody who can afford not to be paid for a year is obviously stupidly wealthy already.
But having his bonuses, they're about $300,000.
But he's laying off his salary. To set an example to the poor folk who make the cars, and I expect he rides around in an open-top car scattering acorns for little squirrels to save and invest.
From the brief time that I owned a Vauxhall, $300,000 would barely cover the servicing, frankly.
So the scores at the end of round three are, everybody, 12 points. Before we start the final round, here's a piece from a Tunbridge Wells Dental Clinic's leaflet.
A pre-sterilised single-use needle is always used for every patient and has been for the past 30 years.
Thanks to Derek Hines of Tunbridge Wells for that. Francis, your piece of music. Francis, who was eaten out of house and home by unwanted foreign pests?
Termites.
Yes.
Have invaded. They've been sighted down in Devon, but they're on the move, I think. There's a sort of vast army of these sort of awful ravening creatures going around eating everything in sight. If you picture a sort of insect version of Michael Winner, and then imagine 2 million of them, you begin to get an idea of the scale of this threat. But that's they're on the rampage. They're in North Devon now. But once they finish the cream teas, they'll be all over the country. Actually, they don't eat cream teas. The report I saw said that they specialise in eating conservatories and porches. They just prefer to nibble around the edges. They're sort of nouvelle cuisine termites, I think.
It's a country sport. They're giving the house a chance, you see. It's humane. It keeps the houses under control. It's much more humane than bulldozing them. And the houses enjoy the chase.
Experts say termites will devour anything wooden, which is terrible news for the cast of City Central. The owner of the cottage says she's trying to put the best possible light on things. She's lost her home, but she's gained a very impressive toothpick. 2 points to Francis. Steve, who ratted on a fire to become a hero?
This is a heroic rat who has upped the image of his malign species by being a sort of rodent hero in a house fire. What happened was he was downstairs in his cage and a fire started, and the rat got out of the cage and ran up the stairs and scratched on the door of the children, who woke up and went to the phone and dialed 999, and the operator said, "It's all right, we've already had a call from a rat." And said he was just off to damp some towels and lie them along the bottoms of the doors. We're assuming it was a rat, by the way. Wasn't it just a gerbil that hadn't taken its diet pills?
Family's pet dog slept through the entire incident, but tried to take the credit for waking the family when the fire brigade finally arrived. So it's true, then, sleeping dogs do lie. Linda, who is putting dogs on their uppers?
This is Prozac for pets. Apparently, dogs get depressed. I don't quite know how they found this out, really, because, you know, you can't really take them to the psychiatrist because they're not allowed on the couch, but apparently they do get depressed. You know, you come home in the evening, you say, "Oh, I had a good day, Fido, how are you feeling?" "Rough." And that's how you know. And so apparently, yes, they do get depressed, so they're going to give them Prozac now to sort of perk them up a bit, but I don't know if it's such a good idea, really. I don't like the idea, particularly around my way. There's a lot of Rottweilers. I don't like the idea of them with a £60-a-day habit. You know, scary enough with 3 meals a day. So, no, I don't like that. And I suppose there'll be all sort of, I don't know, dog drug culture now, won't they? Films, like Trainspotting, like The Man with the Golden Retriever. No, I think it's a bad idea.
Those sniffer dogs are vicious. You see those dogs in Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, they're really wired.
Have you had a blue tablet?
Worries that the drug may lead to addiction were supported when two Alsatians turned up at an all-night petrol station asking for 3 bags of Winalot and some king-size Rizzlers. Jeremy, who stumbled upon a new theory about the dinosaurs' downfall?
Oh, I know this. They weren't killed by a meteor or the Ice Age. They all fell over. They broke their ribs, and you can tell this, because at the start of the Flintstones, there's a bit where they pull into a rib place, and this huge broken rib is put on the side of their car. Now, they all fell down. They all fell and hurt themselves, which isn't a very... It's evolution at its worst, really. This huge, terrifying beast with great long claws and teeth, and it runs and it trips and hurts its tummy and dies, and they all die out. And they didn't have casualty then, you see. We don't have casualty now, which is why they're not making much of a comeback.
Dinosaurs are believed to have made a sound too high for the human ear to hear. This may have been because of its unusual frequency, but more probably because none of us showed up until 65 million years later. Before the end, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Simon, this is a cutting from The Guardian, a daily newspaper. And it's from the most wonderful column they have called Corrections and Clarifications, by far the best thing in the paper. Our leading article, Eternal Bang, yesterday, was at variance with our news report on the same subject, headed Time for Battle Over Birth of Universe. The latter referred to the theory of Stephen Hawking and Neil Turok that what happened in the first trillion, trillion, trillionth of a second of time may dictate an eternity of desolation for the universe. In the leader, this became a trillion, trillionth. One of them is wrong, although in the long term it may not matter.
Thank you. Steve?
Well, I've gone even further upmarket than The Guardian this week. I've got something from the British Medical Journal. It's a very serious academic paper in the Fortnightly Review. It's called Update on Male Erectile Dysfunction. And it starts off, male erectile dysfunction, defined as the inability to achieve or maintain an erection sufficient for sexual intercourse, is one of the most common sexual dysfunctions in men. Blah, 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 blah. It's a very long thing. It's summed up by five... It's summed up by five summary points, the fourth of which is promising oral treatments are currently being investigated.
Linda.
Well, my cutting was very kindly sent in by Mrs. S. Richards of Lancashire from the Sunday People. A zoo in Kenya invited visitors to walk through a fenceless crocodile compound and get really close to the crocodiles. But the zoo had to close it after six visitors were eaten on the first day. It was an idea that just didn't work, said an official.
Jeremy.
This was sent in by Patrick Mill, and it's from the Isle of Wight County Press. A holiday camp greenkeeper who had with him a homemade weapon claimed it was a toy for his Labrador dog. Miss Rosemary Wallings, prosecuting, said police saw him in Garden Way and found him with a wooden cosh, which consisted of a wooden stick with a sawn-off snooker cue, with a metal nut at one end and a green plastic handle at the other, connected to which was a length of rope. Allen told officers that it was for the dog. When it was pointed out that there were no teeth marks on it, Allen was hesitant and replied, "He hasn't really taken to it yet."
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final scores. Everybody equal, a tie with 16 points each. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Decorum Independent, sent in by Peter Dudley of Berkhamsted.
Gerald Donovan, who campaigned long and hard to have something done about the rusting shell of an old bus stop outside his home, says this week he is relieved something has finally been done. One morning, a van turned up and a bloke swept the bus stop. Half an hour later, another van came along and jet sprayed it clean. An hour after that, a third lorry came along, tore the whole thing down and took it away.
And that's all for this week. Until the next time, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz this week were Francis Wheen, Steve Punt, Linda Smith and Jeremy Hardy. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by Tom Jameson with Felix Riley and George Poles. The producer was John Rolfe.